The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Ah, did you hear that? Let's try it again. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so this evening, all you need to have is a heart full of expectation. Because I have asked the Lord, there will be invitations tonight, electric ones. But then, majorly I'm asking the Lord to set people up for ministry. Are you getting me? To set people up for the ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You want to do set? Want to set something? Technical? Nothing. If you want to do it, you can do it quietly. It's fine. Okay. Praise God. And so, I'm asking the Lord tonight to set people up for ministry. And He will do that by the anointing. So, you know, in the day I was sharing something with us. I don't know if you were here in the day. If you didn't come this morning, I think you missed this conference. Were you here in the morning?
Yes, sir.
If you not come this morning, you missed the conference. Take it from me. So ask your neighbor, did you come this morning? If the person came, say congratulations. If the person didn't come, say, hey, yeah. Hallelujah. Because everything, even what I'm going to talk about tonight, I'm building on what I did in the morning. I told you this conference is divided into two. The first part ended yesterday night with the healing line. This morning we opened up something else. Hallelujah. It's one of the things I said in the morning, or the major thing I said in the morning, is the fact that it takes light, it takes revelation to enjoy a safe flight in every area of life. Are you following me? In every area of life. Your health is not doing well. Revelation can settle you for life. Your finance is struggling. Revelation will settle you for life. You need, you are depressed. Revelation will settle you. Struggling with unbelief, you not need to walk in the faith of God. Revelation will settle you. Every area of your life, what you need is for the Lord to open your eyes to see these things in the Bible. And apart from, and I told you today, revelation is beyond hearing. It's beyond head knowledge. It's beyond information. You can have information in your head, but there's no revelation in your heart. Are you following me? And if it is like that, all you have is information. You can even explain it to someone, but you don't know it. And I gave you some examples in the morning. If you don't know it, you don't know it. You can even preach it. But if it does not come upon you like revelation, light, then you won't be able to flow in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it takes revelation. And what I shared with you in the day, there was an area I didn't talk about. I'm going to talk about it tonight. And that's the area of ministry. The struggles we have in ministry can be settled by revelation. There are specific points in my life and in my ministry where the Lord opened my eyes to something. This is not about having an encounter. I've had encounters, visions of Jesus and all that. But that's what I'm talking about tonight. Where the Lord just made known to me one or two truths in the word, and it's like light exploded in my eyes, and then ministry became easier. Some of them came by visions and revelations. That's why tonight there's going to be spiritual encounters. Because some of them came that way. No, one of those experiences, I don't know why I'm running ahead of myself. One of those experiences, I've shared this with you, that I can never forget it. That's it that I learned how to do. I'll still talk about it today. How to do ministry with ease. I was in a vision. And then, there was an announcement. We want to bring to the stage the minister for tonight, Pastor Henry Oyedekachi. And I wasn't even a pastor then. So they began to clap, they began to shout. And then I walk up from the stage. From the crowd, from my seat, and I came to the stage, and I stood. Now, that's the last thing I remembered in that vision. I stood. Then the next thing that happened was, I saw myself, I was done preaching. People were crying, people were on the floor, people were somersaulting, the different kinds of the move of the Spirit. And I couldn't remember one thing I said. Are you following me? I can't remember one thing. I went and sat down on my seat. People were coming around. Said, thank you for blessing me. Thank you for changing my life. I couldn't remember. I can't remember. It looked like I blanked out. And as I was meditating on these things, I got up. And the Holy Ghost said to me, you see what you saw in that dream? That is how to do ministry. You walk up there. You let me. Are you getting me? Changed me. He said, the problem you have is you always try to perform. He said, when you go up there, do not try to perform. Let me. And that changed my ministry. So there are things that God will, there are revelations that a man is going to have. It will change his life forever. The truth of the matter is that God has an assignment for you. God wants you to work for him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14. A very powerful scripture that I've preached from almost all my life. And I still want to preach from it tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said, for the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. Verse 15. He said, he died for all. Come on, verse 15 quickly. That's the next verse. Amen. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So the reason he died for all is so that the people he died for can stop living for themselves. So whether you like it or not, whether you love God or you hate him, God wants you to work for him. He has an assignment for you. The reason he died for you is so that you can live for him. So you can live the rest of your life living for him, fulfilling his assignment for your life. That's why he died for you. And so if you are not yet fulfilling God's assignment, God's mandate for your life, you are not yet living the reason he died. So the reason he died is beyond you receiving salvation and then screaming, oh, I know, I got it. Yes, you got it, whether it's more. Are you following me? There is more, there's an assignment. One of the most popular New Creation scriptures is 2 Corinthians 5:17. That if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, all things have passed away. He said, behold, all this has become new. What we fail to realize is that immediately after that verse that declared our new creation status, verse 18, he said, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and committed to us, giving us the ministry of reconciliation. Immediately after the verse where he declared who we are in Christ, it also declared the assignment we have in Christ. So God wants you to work for him. Every time the light of the gospel shines on someone and the person gets saved, he doesn't just receive salvation, he also receives a ministry. Did you hear me this evening? Every time, can you power this better? Every time the light of the gospel shines on someone, he doesn't just receive salvation as a gift. He also receives a ministry. A perfect example is Acts 26 verse 12. I've preached on that like 2 times now, but it's a 3rd time. And Paul was narrating his experience. He said, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the high priests, was sharing his experience. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and then we journeyed with me. Okay, continue quickly. And then we journeyed with me. Come on. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So he saw Jesus, you know, and all that. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. Okay, now watch what follows in verse 15. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You know, watch now the instruction. This was Paul's salvation experience. So this was the day Paul got saved. This was the day he said, You're popular, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. That was his day. But see, immediately, now see what the voice told him. He said, Rise. That was the first day the man got saved. Rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. The first day he got saved. Who is following me? Ministry is not something you receive after 2 years of being a believer. Ministry is something you receive the same day you receive salvation. The only thing is, ministry is in phases. It's in phases. At a time, God will want you to do this. At a time, he will want you to do that. Are you getting me? Just like I give an example in the home. When you are born in the home, you are born into a family, but you're also born onto responsibilities. So at a time, they want you to wash plates. At another time, they want you to do this. You know, as you grow, the responsibility is growing. But you see, that day you got saved, you did not just receive salvation. You see, the first day Paul was getting saved, very first day, and God said, I appeared to you for this purpose. I didn't just come to give you salvation or righteousness. I also came to make you a witness and a minister, both of the things, of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. He continued in verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. The first day he got saved. Are you still in church? So ministry is something we received in Christ immediately. It's not something we received after we now grew spiritually. And so if you are not yet committing yourself to the ministry, the work of the ministry, you are not serving, you are not doing what, in fact, you are not fulfilling God's destiny or your destiny in Christ. So we received an assignment. We received a ministry. If you are still, let's say amen. So you should want to do ministry. But you see, even though we receive this ministry, there are things that you need to know to make this your work of ministry easy. Some of you can admit that you have struggled sometimes in the ministry. It has happened to all of us. I had my struggles. I started out as a believer who loved the Lord. But you see, the fact that you are passionate does not also mean you will not struggle. Are you following me? You can be passionate all you want. I can tell you my story is also like Apostle Paul's story, because I got saved I got saved on 28th of July, and I went on mission 1st of August. I didn't waste any time. When I mean mission, I mean intensive 1 month mission immediately after my salvation experience. So I loved it. Like God said, I wanted to preach, I wanted to serve the Lord. But you see, passion is not enough. Hi, are you following me? It's important too. But it's even revelation that sustains passion. Have you not seen men run with force? And then at a time they get tired. So there are a few things I'm going to mention that some revelations that when you catch from the word of God, ministry becomes easy. All this struggle, there are many of you that born, I'm seeing some things in the spirit here, that used to burn for the Lord before. Now you cannot say you are no longer burning for God, but you know you don't used to burn like you used to burn before. Your light has moved from maybe 200 watts to 60 watts. You are just keeping up. And I want to talk to somebody by the Spirit. Do you remember those days you used to be very passionate? You used to carry mic to go and do morning cry. You remember? What happened to you? God will give you staying power. Yeah. Is that enough to just... Remember those days you used to be very passionate to carry mic? Do you remember when they used to call you pastor? What are you now? Then you are pastor. Now you are pastor. You know there is pastor and there is pastor. That's when you commit one. They just see you with one bottle of hero. They say, pastor. Pastor, pray for me. Bless me. They're mocking you. But I'll be on fire for God for a long time. I mean forever. It's revelation. There are things you know you can't just stop. There are things you know you can't just quit. Apart from all the prayer we are praying and everything we're going to teach, there are things that you will know, things that God will open your eyes to see. It becomes difficult or impossible to quit, no matter what happens. So one of them, for instance, every believer needs a revelation of the love of God to start with. If you know, now remember I explained something in the day for you. When I'm talking about revelation of the love of God, I'm not talking about you knowing it or hearing me say it. Information is not the same thing as revelation. It needs to dawn on you. And you know it's like you know your name, how much God loves you. Paul tells us in that first scripture we read, that first 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, that it is that love of Christ that constrains us. So when that revelation of that love happens to you, it will pull you along the ministry. You know, you need to know, for instance, how much God has loved us and how he gave his life for us. This is the most important revelation every believer must have. How God has loved us. The love of God displayed in Christ. How he gave himself for us. 4 verse 10. You know, put it in a very interesting way. 1 John chapter 4 verse 10. You know, with the King James Bible, it says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. This needs to happen. You need to know how much God has loved us. As simple as this. And I told something on the first of this meeting. I'm going to be saying simple things you've heard before. But you'll catch them like revelation. It's a meeting of light. Glory to God. He loved us and gave himself for us. That's the love of God. 1 John 3:16, he said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Now look what he says. He said, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Why are there believers not willing to lay down their lives for the brethren? They have not perceived the love of God. They don't know it. Are you looking at that verse? He said, because he laid down his life for us, if you know it, it should be able to move you to lay down your life for other people. But in our generation, nobody wants to lay down his life for anybody. That is a revelation that they need to know the love of God and how much he has given. You can give everything. You know, the truth of the matter is, if I think of when God began to open my eyes to understand the love of the Father and how much Jesus has given, if I think of that, there is nothing I give to him or I do for the ministry that is worth anything. Put it side by side with the sacrifice of the cross. It's nothing. Who is following me this evening? You need to know how much Jesus has loved us, how much he gave himself for us. He said, I can't do this. Every day I'm in church. Every day I'm doing this. Every day I'm carrying my Bible on my head. I'm tired. The thing is, if you know how much he has loved us, if you know how much he has given, let me ask you a question. That's what I'm talking about, revelation. Let me ask you a question. If I walk up to you, you know, you needed money last year. I gave you 10 million. You needed money the next month. I gave you 15 million. You needed money this month. I gave you 100 million. You needed money last week, I gave you 200 million. And then I, in the process of time, I was just passing. I said, see, do you have $20? Let me buy biscuits. And then you give me the 20 naira. Are you going to go up and down saying, I made a sacrifice? Imagine that. I made a big sacrifice. So what happened? It wasn't easy. Let me even say I asked you for 10,000. Let me even say I asked you for 100,000. Even if I ask you for 1 million, put it side by side with what I've done for you so far. You should not talk in public. That is how, if you understand how much God has loved us and how much He has given, you can lay down your life for your brethren, you will not complain. This is why we carry Jesus on our head, because He has done so much. Greater love has no man than this, that for a man to lay down his life for his friends. If you know it, they won't drag you along to go preach the gospel. People see ministry as a burden. They feel that doing God a favor. They feel that making sacrifice. I still disagree 10 times with people that call ministry a sacrifice. Ministry is not sacrifice. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. When you look at how much He has done. How much He has done. He gave Himself for us. You see that scripture was saw in the day. He said, Ephesians 3 verse 16 to 19. He said that you may be able to understand the height of His love, the width, the length, the depth of His love. If you understand it, it's easy to serve Him. It's easy to commit. That's why I'm asking that you will be able to come to this revelation of the love of God. Beyond what you hear pastors say. Beyond what you read in books. Beyond what you hear people say. I gave an example in the day. If you go to a random congregation, and just ask them, do you believe that God loves you? All of them will raise up their hand. But you know what? They don't know it. They don't believe it. They've heard people say it. They even say it. They don't believe it. The next challenge that comes, you hear things like, God, where are you? Why are you doing this to me? Why am I passing? They don't know the love of God. When you know it as per revelation, it's easy to carry the thing on your head. And I'm praying that's why some of you are struggling with ministry. I say, contemplating, do this. Go and study on the love of God. The love of God revealed in Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. All He has given to us. Do you know, I strongly believe, I was thinking about this afternoon, one reason why it is difficult for me to quit in the ministry. One reason is because I discovered the gospel. By the time I was going to discover the true gospel that showed me the love of the Father, I was already tired of ministry. Because many things were not working. Until I began to learn and feed on the love of the Father through materials like E.W. Kenyon's book, I began to feed on new creation realities and the things God has done for us, He has given. I read, the first book I read was From the Cross to the Throne. What happened from the cross to the throne? E.W. Kenyon. And I began to eat that material. After I ate that, I saw how He did not just suffer on the cross, how He descended into hell. I saw how He died 2 times. Hallelujah. And when I saw all of that, I told myself, see guy, there is nothing you do that you should be applauded for. That's what Jesus told them. When we do what we should have, what we should do, you should not ask for thank you. I didn't get the point. If you understand the love of God revealed in Christ, if it opens up to you, ministry will become, there will be no, is the strongest compelling force. Paul said the love of Christ constrains us. Pulls us. The strongest compelling force. And so, you know, one of the things you can do for yourself after this meeting is begin to study. You know, one thing I've been emphasizing this morning is throw yourself back into your Bible. Throw your back. Stay there. Let your eye open. Because it's beyond this thing I'm saying here. It's beyond all of this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there's a revelation of the love of God. That is key. I wish I had more time to talk about this, but I have a few more things to discuss. But it's one of the most important, that your eyes will open to see how much God has loved you. If it happens to you and it dawns on you, sometimes you can be thinking about it, you're just sitting down, you're shedding tears. It catches up with you. Life means nothing again, except you're living it for Jesus. Because we thus judge that if one died, then we are all dead. And he died for all, that they which live should no longer live for themselves, but for him that died for them. It will bring you to a point of reckless abandon, a place where you let go of yourself. And if he can give himself for me, I will give myself for him. You know, people think that, why do you think I'm doing ministry? You think it's all of this? You think I like this? So I can be very frank with you. I don't think I say this enough. But you think I like attention? You think I like all this attention? If you know me very closely, like personally, you will know that one of the biggest things I hate is being on the spot. As in being somewhere where everybody's looking at me. I don't like it. I prefer if I want to walk into a place, I sneak in. If I'm very close to you, I've noticed that. I don't like, but you see, when the burden came, if what it would take is for people to now be seeing you, it's fine. There are many things you don't like doing. Who likes to walk under the sun preaching to people? On a serious note, are you following me? Who likes to come to church every day and is sweeping church? You think it is sweet? It's only sweet because you understand better. Naturally, it's not sweet. If you're ever going to sweep elsewhere, they should pay you. Are you following what I'm saying? If you're going to be a marketer for a company where you go out every day to go and market the company has to offer, they should pay you. They should not just pay you your salary. They should pay you incentives. Everything you sell, they should add something for you on top. But in this kingdom, you find men who will wake up in the morning, leave everything they're doing, and they're walking up and down, marketing this gospel. Nobody's paying them nothing. Come on, are you following what I'm saying? Nobody's paying them nothing. It is revelation. When you know how much they're giving to you, just think of that illustration I gave you. So, the guy works from morning till night, all over the place. Then he comes back, he feels God should thank him. He feels he deserves some accolade. I've been preaching all the while, going all over the place, sharing the gospel. You know, to shut him up, he should bring up everything he has done for God. Place it side by side with the cross. He will enter the street again. I didn't get a point. He will enter the street again. It is given to me to know the love of God. And I'm praying that it becomes the same for you. That you have a revelation, an understanding of that is love, how much he has loved us. Okay, then there is another revelation. There is a revelation of the call of God upon your life. These are things that you need to know. When they happen to you, nobody will force you to do some things. You know, many of us think that it is man that called us. So why are you serving in your church? Pastor said I should be sweeping this place. And if that is what you know, and that is all you know, it will not be very hard for Satan to push you aside. You see, there is something that happened to me when I got saved newly. I realized, without anybody telling me, that I was called of God. And I didn't know what that calling was. I didn't even know I was going to start a church. I didn't even know I was going to be a pastor. But I knew, it's like I knew my name, that there was a call of God upon my life. And I want you to know it right there where you are sitting. That there is a call of God upon your life. There is a call of God upon your life. I want you to know it. It has to happen to you. It has to open up to you. Hallelujah. I already showed you immediately after God saved Paul, the first thing he gave him was a ministry. For every believer, whether you heard God or not, the day you receive salvation, you receive the ministry too. There is a call upon your life. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be a pastor or an apostle or an evangelist. I'm saying there is a call of God upon your life. Say there is a call of God upon my life. Let me hear you try it again. Say, there is a call of God upon my life. You need to know it. Beyond what I'm saying, it has to happen to you that the divine God has called me. He has called me to preach. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, all things have passed away. He said, behold, all things have become new. Verse 18, he said, all things of God who has reconciled us to himself and has committed to us, giving us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ. Hallelujah. Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we were not just reconciled to God, we were given a message to preach. Now, I know this is general for every believer, but I'm saying I wanted to come to a time where it dawns on you personally that God called me. See, God did not call us. God called Henry. That is the call of God. I know it with everything in me. You can't talk me out of it. How you get to the point? That's why everybody can quit. But the day God was calling me, you were not there. God did not call us. It's not, hey, all of you follow me. It was particular. It's in this verse. But he called me personally. And I want to tell you, he called you too personally. You should have to come to the point time where you begin to personalize scriptures. Personalized spiritual experiences. It's not what happened to us. It's what happened to me. There's a call of God upon my life. You are not just a member or a number in the park. God has a particular assignment for you. If you catch what I'm sharing with you tonight, it will not allow you to just give up one day. I'm not just a number in the park. I'm not just one of those people. God is particular. He called me. Somebody that looked at you and told you that the number of hairs on your head, that he numbered them. That man is particular about you. Are you getting me? And let me even announce to you guys. Why you need to know this? God doesn't call people in groups. Now, I'm called to be a lead pastor. Some other person might be called to assist the work. Another person is called to just be in the team. You see, no calling is bigger than the other. Every call is important, just responsibility. But you see, whatever call it is, God does not call people in groups. He didn't call us to become PG members. He didn't call us to serve in platform of grace. He called you. Are you following what I'm saying? You see what he told Jeremiah? He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and that you ordained it to be a prophet. And you know, sometime again, I preached a message on a people in prophecy. Remember that? Before God formed you. Let me say this to you. I disagree with that opinion that, you know, it's not like I disagree, but I'm saying that there's more to you than that. How are you formed? So, a man and a woman had intercourse, and about 15 million sperm cells were released, and then they began to run towards the egg, and then you are just lucky that it's you that got to the egg. Because if it's not that, if it was other sperm cells, you wouldn't have been born. That's not true. Yes, I know that's scientifically correct, but I'm saying the fact that it was that sperm cell that got to that egg was not a coincidence. God had a particular plan for everybody he formed. Are you following me, church? So you're not just one of those people that God gave birth to. If you had met God when he was creating you, and then you ask him, what this child about to be born, tell me. He will tell you about the child. He will tell you about you. That's an assignment. That is a call of God upon your life. You're not just one other person. Because if you don't get this, it's easy to say, I'm no more doing. It's easy to say, if they vex me here, I know they even preach again. Because you think somebody begged you to do this thing. God single-handedly handpicked you. You know, I read that scripture for you. Psalm 139 verse 15. Psalm 139 verse 15. Hayaya buratash. Woo, glory. Psalm 139 verse 15. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16. Hallelujah. Thy eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I read it to you with the New Living Translation. He said, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. So the psalmist is saying, while he was still in the dark of the womb, God was already watching him. Are you getting the point? So the psalmist did not just appear, and likewise you. Now see the next verse, verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Are you following me? So, you know, you think you just woke up and decided to be a pastor? No. God planned it out before you came. Do you understand the point? You think you just woke up, you say, how did you become a leader in church? Well, pastor was just looking for who will lead the publicity team. So he just looked at me and said, okay, well, you just come. If that is how you see ministry and responsibility, you can always give up. How did you join the choir? I can sing. When I came to church one day, they were even trying to give me to join. This one said join choir. This one said join usher. So when they just drag, and I said, there's one girl in the choir that was just talking to me. I said, I will join. If that's how you treat ministry, you think, now that is what happened in the physical. But you see, God was ordering your steps. Are you following me? If you think about it, you are in this church now. You are even being serious. Think of how many people that have tried to preach to you and make you serious in life, and it failed. Think of the effort your mother put on your head to be taking you to church. You refuse to go. Think of everything your father did for you. You refuse to be going to church. Suddenly, somebody just speaks to you. Just say, well, I'm just going to be here. And you think that was a coincidence? You need to understand that is a particular call of God upon your life. And what you are doing is what God has given you to do. You can't just walk away from me like that. God did not call us. God called me particularly. Write it in your notes, put it everywhere on top of in front of your phone. I am called of God. There is a man sent from God whose name is Henry. I get to the point. There's a man sent from God. You have to see yourself like that. I am a man sent from God. I may not be sent to plant a church. I may not be sent to even be a pastor in the church. But I am sent for whatever God is asking me to do. If it is just to do evangelism on the street, I'm sent for it. I'm ready to do it. If it's just to serve in the church, I'm ready. I'm sent for this assignment. And you need to know there is no assignment more important than the other. Because most times what we call more important are the things we can see. When those things we think are not important stop functioning, we are in trouble. What is the least responsibility you can find in a company? Somebody can say, what's the least? The least role? Cleaner? Which other one? Gate man. Imagine we come to work on a Monday morning and the gate man or the security man has gone. And everybody has to come down and open his gate and drive in and step out and close it back. You will now know that there is no road that is small. You know that in Nigeria, we underpay people. It's actually very bad. We underpay people. We say, it's not just a gate man. Give him 20,000. That's actually wrong. If you're building a company here, you see, you have to appreciate people according to their labor. I get the point. No rule. That's one thing they have in Western nations that we don't have here. You get the point. You can go to the US and you find a cleaner earning the same thing you are earning as a doctor. I get the point. Once she's growing in the role and getting better, they will pay her. So you're the one saying, you common cleaner. What is common about that? And it's because of that mindset we brought it to the church. You feel the pastor is the most important. If I'm not a pastor, then God did not call me. Because you think, what am I doing in church? I'm just sweeping. God called you. You're not just a person. Hallelujah. What do you think made Paul to stand as firm as he stood in the ministry. One of it is what I'm sharing with you. He had a revelation that God, there is a call of God upon his life. He had it early. Let me go back to Acts 26. I already read. Let's see from verse 15. In fact, let's read that from 15 with Message Bible. Acts 26, 15 with Message Bible. Hallelujah. He said, I said, who are you, master? The voice, now watch this. I want you to see the call of God upon Paul's life. From the first day he got saved, the voice said, answered, I am Jesus, the one you are hunting down like an animal. Because Paul was killing people. But now, up on your feet, I have a job for you. The first day somebody got saved. It was this encounter that changed his life. First day he got saved, I have a job for you. I have handpicked you to be a witness, a servant and a witness to what's happening, what happened today, and to what I'm going to show you. I have handpicked you. Continue. I'm sending you off. The first day, madness. In fact, Paul was not even sure he was born again by then. I pray it will happen to you that way, that you will know that as young, as irrelevant as you think you are in SS1 or SS2, or you are a graduate, or you are working in whatever company, or you are whatever, God has handpicked you for an assignment. Let it happen to you like that. I am called of God. He said, I have handpicked you. I'm sending you off to open the eyes of the outsiders so they can see the difference between dark and light. And choose light. See the difference between Satan and God. And choose God. I love Message Bible. I'm sending you off to present my offer of sins forgiven. And a place in the family. Inviting them into the company of those who begin reliving by believing in me. Now let me show you what I'm going to. See verse 19. Watch. He now asked Agrippa. He was talking to Agrippa. He said, what could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. There are things that will happen to you. You can't just walk away from something. There is something that can happen to you. If he was trying to explain to Agrippa that is this thing I'm doing is not my fault. Something, there is something I got to know. Do you, okay, sir, do you expect me to just go like that? Even if it is you that saw this thing I saw, will you go? He said, I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. I became an obedient believer on the spot. Now see verse 20. I'll stop there. See verse 20. He said, I started preaching this life change, this radical turn to God, and everything it meant in everyday life, right there in Damascus. Because it was revelation. He said, but then I caught it. I started preaching immediately from that point. Went on to Jerusalem and surrounding, on the surrounding countryside, from there to the whole world. It's revelation. I wish you can realize that beyond all the business you are doing, beyond all your career pursuit, God has an assignment for you. And I wish it would come upon you like revelation. You will know it. Now, let's get to where it begins to matter. Thirdly, you need a revelation of God's approval. God, this is where many people are struggling. Am I good enough for this? Do I think I can do this? Do I think I'm perfect enough for it? I know myself. So I say that this ministry, I know myself. If you don't get that revelation of God's approval, the fact that God has qualified you and not man, the fact that God thinks you are qualified. You know, one of the things that helped me, because I began to do ministry very early. And I tell you, got to a time, there were a lot of things happening. I used to tell this a lot of time. When I told myself that I must go to hell, I've told you, right? I was planning, I was a believer, but I knew I was going to go to hell. Because when I saw the conditions on how to make heaven and be serious in life, I just knew that I'm going to make hell. And I knew, you know, there was a day I told God, now this is not good, don't try it. I told God, I said, see, Father, you know I love you. I am going to fast. I was telling God, I'm going to fast from this Friday till Monday. That's the longest fast I've done. I'm going to fast from this Friday till Monday. Now, I'm not going to take food nor water. Now, Lord, this was my first year. Why I'm doing this fast is because I am tired of this ministry thing. Something is wrong with me or you or your word. Something is wrong with somebody. Because I was seeing this in the... That I was saying, you know, that's, I think that was, it was raining. I said, I went to hell. Oh, Pastor Bimbo Dukoya is in hell. Oh, I went to hell. And your person does say, I said, God, so what is going to happen now is, if all these people can finish working with you and go to hell, I don't have time to waste. So let me choose my destiny now. Do you understand? At least live life small. Whoever tried this, and I'm saying, just play yourself, say, last line, it's not fire. Because everything around me was screaming, you are not qualified for this. And many of you still hear those voices in your head. Listen, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6, it said our sufficiency is of God. It is God that qualifies us. And it needs to happen to you. You need to come to that point where you realize that God has qualified you for this assignment. You know, and I've said it many times. You've heard me say this all the time in meetings. That those who wait for the approval of men cannot lead a generation. If you are waiting for men to say you are good, or for men to say, oh, you are doing well now, you can't do much with God. A revelation that you need to lead your generation is that revelation of the fact that God has approved you. God has qualified you. God thinks you are okay. God looks at you and says, that's my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased. He says, sir, how can I be sure that God sees me like that? You can be doubly sure. You can be doubly sure. Because when he died on the cross, he gave you right standing with him. The problem is that most of the times we are saying to God, I'm not qualified for this, Lord. The Lord is looking at you and he's wondering what you are talking about. Now, hear this, friend. This is the first thing that almost everybody called of God in the Bible had to deal with before God started using them. Example was Moses. God called him. He gave him more than one reason why he cannot go. He said, first of all, I am a stammerer. He began to give him reasons. Everyone that God wants to work for him, they always have this sense of, I am not fit. I know if you do, I'm a beg. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I'm a child. Every time he calls someone, they always have excuses. Until they're able to overcome all those their excuses and begin to trust on God's own approval, they won't do much for him. And I want to tell somebody here, you are qualified. You are enough for what God wants to do. God is not foolish. If you are not qualified, he will not pick you. You think God wants to waste his investment? The reason he's putting that, you are even hearing what you're hearing now, and he's putting that passion, that burden in your heart, talking to you about these things, is because he thinks you can do it. Oh, come on, friend. I know about the mistakes. I know about the failings. I know about the struggles. I know how you even forget to pray like after 3 days. I'm talking to you. Glory to God. I know how you don't know where your Bible is before you came for this conference. I know about all the struggles. Guess what? God knows. He's just saying, I am still calling you. If you give in, we will take this walk together. I say this all the time. Many times people see men of God. They see this Papa now. Amen. And he has been preaching since Thursday, doing a lot of mind-blowing things and then healing the sick. And then you just feel, holy man. I wish it's like that. I wish we are standing here because we are perfect. At least we can brag. Do you understand me? If it's because I can brag to you. Then I'll say, since I got saved, you know. And that's why once I see preachers that brag that way, I know one thing, they're lying. Do you know? Yeah, they're lying. They're giving you half truth. They're saying the one that is true. They're leaving the other one that is a lie. You tell us about the days you conquered. What of the days you failed? You think we don't know? One was bragging to me one day. I said, no, I tell people, preachers should be very careful with guests. I said, yes. And then he began to tell me, now, and why I said yes, it's not because what he said was a lie, but I knew he was about to blow his trumpet. Well, he said, you know, 3 weeks ago, this guy, she just shared one story. I don't even know whether it's true or not. The problem is, I have his story. I didn't get the point. I have his story from a reliable source. So I just smiled and said, ah, bro, thank God for you. You are trying. But I hope you know it's not all these things that God will use to approve you. Because I also know of the days that you made mistakes. Are you getting the point? And watch people that are always self-righteous. Even the days they fall. Instead of them to say, let's use fornication. I made a mistake. I slept with this girl. Do you understand? You know what I'm going to say? She came to seduce me. So she seduced you. And you agreed. You know, that is the first thing men begin to do when they sin. Adam, where are you? He said, Lord, I'm naked. He said, who told you you are naked? It's that woman you gave me. And that's not even the answer to the question. That woman you gave me, she gave me something to eat. Eve, what happened to you? It's not me. It's the serpent. The beauty of this thing is the fact that we are not qualified. But God picks the unqualified. And in our walk with him, we keep getting better. If what I'm talking about was not done on you, even if you are doing well now, all you need is just one mistake to keep you off track. I get it. Even if you do well for like 50 years, all you need is just one mistake. You need to understand that God has approved you, not because you are perfect, but because he's a perfect God. Are you following me? He's a perfect God. Now, does that mean you should now go on and begin to be stupid? Well, no. 1,000 times no. But that means that whether you're right or you are wrong, you should never think that that is the reason why God is using you, or that that is the reason why God will not use you. Sir, I've discovered something. If I share this with how I discovered this thing in ministry, that the days we prepare most are the days it doesn't happen. And the days we think we are not ready. Have you ever had that experience here? Let me see. If I tell how I discovered this thing, I finished preparing for a meeting. I prayed. I prayed. What I mean I prayed, it's not like 10 minutes. I prayed. I was on a fast for 3 days. So I finished. You know, there was confidence. I just came up and said, tonight, we're going to have a move. I was even, you know when you're preaching and you're feeling your message, you know. I wasn't even feeling the message. I said, ah, what's happening? I said, let me shout more. Tonight! Like after the meeting, people came to me and said, oh, I was blessed and all that. Well, me, I know that this is not what we planned for. And I tell you that day I went to, when I mean I cried, it's not figure of speech. I literally cried like I was wailing like a child when I got home. I said, God, I was very young. I wasn't up to 1 year in the ministry then. I said, God, what kind of nonsense is this? You did not call me. Tell me. I just wanted to embarrass myself. You know, I'm telling you, I prepared so much that I went to the cloth I was going to wear and I was anointing it. In the name of Jesus. Anybody that touches you, I'm telling you. I go just for my hand like that in the public of everybody. Because that's what happens anytime you build confidence in the flesh. So after that, the next meeting I had, I still fasted, I still prayed. But I was now humble entering the meeting. Tonight, Lord, anything you want to do with us, please do. It's some of those They were saying, foolish to kokunzuzu, okwenwodish. That's what it is. You don't realize that there are pastors who are in Lagos who have not eaten. Don't worry. Let them carry you and be going where you don't know. Continue. People are there. People are in Abuja. They don't even have members. Train your heart. Let it dawn on you that God is mighty and he can do whatever he says. I trust his integrity that when he says a thing, you know, it was in Psalm 89, I think verse 33, that he said, God will never lie to Israel. Psalm 89, 33. God will never, 33, 34, 35. He said, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Hallelujah. Verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Verse 35, watch. He says, once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. So God has sworn that he won't lie unto Henry. So everything he said to me is as good as done. When I started out in ministry, people say that when they started out in ministry, they had 10,000 or 100,000. I had nothing. All I had was the word of God, go. And I dared to trust that word. Friend, trust God. He will supply. And there are two more things I'm going to say. Or three. Then you need a revelation of what I call divine partnership. Now, what do I mean by this? The fact that God is the one partnering with us in the ministry. This is how we have ease. I won't say much about this. The fact that the help of the Spirit is always available. I want to announce to somebody, see, ministry is not something. God does not send you and then leave you to go on your own. When he sends you, he goes with you. And because he's going with you, every challenge you are possibly going to face, he will provide the answer. You see what Paul told, said, you know, calls us in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1, he calls us partners with God. Partners. You know what a partner is? If I'm a partner with God, like in Platform of Grace now, you people see me as the pastor. But in reality, I'm only partnering with God in pastoring his church. What is partnership? Partnership, if I'm washing clothes, if both of us are washing clothes, I have to wash, you have to rinse. Or you rinse. And that is, in ministry, there is job description. God has his own job. I have my own job. What I'm talking to you about made ministry easy for me. So I want the sick to be healed. All I have to do is to lay hands and he will come and heal. Are you getting the point? I want things to happen. All I have to do is to do my own part. And I give when he does his own part. And if you realize this, you will find out that ministry is actually easy. Because it is the only job that your employer employs you and does the job with you. Are you following me? He employs and he does the job with you. As I'm preaching now, he is here. Guess what he's doing? All I have to do is make sure I say the words he asked me to say. He is in everybody's heart here. That is why some of you is burning in your heart. That's why some of you, your leg is shaking. That's why some of you are nodding your head. That's why some of you are catching revelation. Because I'm talking, he's working in your heart. It's divine partnership. Are you getting me? What do you think I do? I raise my hand and I say, take it. What do you think happens? I say, take it. He goes to his own job. Are you getting the point? He goes and begins to touch people one by one. One by one. Just obey him. What did he tell us to do that we did last night? He said, you shall lay hands on the sick. So I just did my own part. Lay hands out. He goes to his own job. That's ministry. That's the first thing I told you when I came up stage. That was the day I got this revelation. I went up to stage. After preaching, I couldn't remember anything I preached. And God said, that is the way. He said, next time you go up that stage, just allow me. Do what I ask you to do. Leave the rest. That's why I can be preaching in the middle of a message. I'll tell you I'm done. God said we should stop. It's his church. I want to say this to someone. There is nothing that God asks you to do that you can do with your own ability. Even if that thing is something you've been doing before. Let me put it this way. Even if from the time you were born, you've been sweeping your house, you are the sweeper in your house. When you come to church and you are now asked to be a sweeper in church, you need God's ability to be able to sweep the church. That's very powerful. You will keep all this. You've learned it. This is where prayer is important too. You can play it in any way, play it in a wedding or wherever. You need God's ability, God's help to play in his church. Because what you are now doing in his church is now ministry. And ministry can only be done by the help of the Spirit. You're a good speaker. You have oratory skills and all that. You can talk and wow the audience. It's fine. You can use it anywhere. But when it has to do with teaching God's word, God has to anoint your lips. If not, you're just blabbing. But the good thing is, he's always available to help. There is someone I need to talk to in this place. Who thinks that what God wants him to do is hard? I want you to know about the partnership of the Spirit. The fact that God is always there. That there is no hard task. No hard task. He said, lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Are you following me? They give you a responsibility. I wonder how am I going to do that? Well, there is God who is available to supply strength. This revelation will help your ministerial calling forever. Such that there is nothing God asks you to do that you refuse. Because you know he's going to help me. Are you following me? You know, one of the beautiful things I like about God, you know, they say things like, oh, well, people that are good leaders, cholerics are good leaders. These ones are good followers. I have seen God pick phlegmatics to lead works, pick melancholics, because it has nothing to do with temperament. Are you getting the point? They say, oh, cholerics are very bad followers. They are proud. They cannot follow. Well, I know cholerics that God has helped, and they are the best followers. Are you following me, church? Everything he asks you to do, don't fret. There is the help of the Spirit. Hallelujah. No, Pastor Tony is here. And I thank God for the work that God is doing through him. You know, the story is one I don't want to tell fully. You know, till the day he wants to tell it. But I met Pastor Tony somewhere, 14 or 15, somewhere there. And then, following from a distance, until where he was worshipping, a situation arose unplanned, and he was giving the work to Pastor. A work that was already collapsing, that was already... How many were people there when you took over? When you took over? Yeah, there were about 200. You can imagine, because something happened and the pastor was not around. Let me not go into details. And then, of course, he was very troubled. Because, you know, it's not like it's something that you plan to be a pastor. You don't plan. How many are you guys now? 550 people. From 200. Are you following me, church? He didn't plan to, as in, he met me, as I said, you know, met, and said, I don't want to do it again. I want to just leave the thing and go. I said, well, if God puts that thing into your hands, God is not a stupid person to give you something and will not help you to do it. Say, I have the help of God. Say again, I have the help of God. And it's always good. God likes those people that think they cannot. That are the most yielded people. I get to the point. Those that don't have a problem. They don't even want to do it in the first place. So they're just waiting for whatever God says. If God did not say anything, they will stay in your house. The help of the Spirit. If you have a responsibility in church, or God is telling you, you can't preach after this meeting, hit the street, preach the gospel, do this. Don't ever say, I can't. That is divine partnership. That is a help that the Spirit gives. That's a help of the Spirit. I said that is a help of the Spirit. That's a help of the Spirit. And I want to say to somebody, God will help you. You need to realize He will. Whatever He asks you to do, He will help you. You see, that place you think you cannot, that is where you will see the greatest of His might. The greatest. Because the way Paul put it, he said His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. I have realized that those areas where I think I am weakest, that's where God shows the highest strength. Are you getting the point? That's where God shows the highest strength. Should I give a practical example of what I'm saying? Practical. That will make you laugh. Practical. So you all know that your pastor is not a singer. Now I'm going to use this as an example. You know, Shay? Even though some people from far think your pastor is a singer. But you know, most times, in fact, I've met more than five people. I met somebody recently. I said, are you Pastor Henry? I said, yes. See, many years ago, you came to our church. I said, oh, thank God. God bless. Praise God. He said, Kai, I remember that meeting. You know, another man of God I met that ministers exactly like you. Just like the way you used to sing and minister. He does that. I said, most times I've seen the most amazing miracles when I release my frog voice. Do you understand? As you are trying to comprehend, is it in the key? Is it not in the key? A deaf ear is opening. It's a very practical example I'm giving you. He will use that weakness and he will turn it to strength. He said, I cannot lead. I cannot even stand. I'm shy to stand before people. There is a divine partnership. He said, open your mouth and I will feel it. So all you have to do is just get down. You feel it. When you are done, you come out there wondering, was I the one talking there? If anybody is ready to go and spread the light of the gospel, God will open your eyes to understand that He's always there to help. I've known this, I keep knowing it, that God is always there to help, always there to assist, always there to put hand for you, always there. They give make you a leader, you feel I don't have leadership skills. It's fine. God is there to help. He's there to help. He's there to help. Evangelism is on Saturday. He said, I can't even come out. I'm afraid to preach. I can't confront people. I can't walk up to people. You see all those, your excuses. I can't speak English. I can't talk well. Those are the areas God will leverage on. You will now see that brother cannot speak English. God will now package him and send him to the Yorubas. And he begins to communicate God's word to them in their dialect. And they're getting blessed. He will use that thing that people think is weakness and it will become your strength. I follow him. And so there is nobody God sends and God leaves the person. Everyone He sends, He goes with. And I feel the power of God as I say what I'm saying this evening. There is a help of the Spirit available. Everyone He sends, He empowers. He goes with. He makes you unnecessarily bold. Unusually bold. There are some of you, what you lack is boldness. What you lack is boldness. But there is boldness now ministered unto you wherever you are. There is boldness. Because you that feel you are afraid and you fidget, you don't think you can do it. He will empower you with the boldness of the Spirit. Boldness that comes from the Holy Ghost, that you can begin to attempt things that you never knew you could do before. That's the help of the Spirit. The help of the Spirit. I've seen this, I'm telling you, happen again and again. Again and again. God, He met Gideon. And Gideon said, I am the smallest in my tribe. That same weak, timid Gideon. Guess what he did? Stepped out one day and burnt down his father's shrine. Get the point? The timid man. You know, God can make you so bold Woke up one day, not Father Shrine, the shrine of their kindred. He went, woke up one day, set it on fire. Boldness by the Spirit. And I'm praying that tonight as I begin to minister to you, that where, whatever area of your life or ministry, where you need help, help will show up in that place. I say help will show up in that area. Wherever you found that you feel you are not capable, you feel you are not strong enough, you feel you can't do well, God will show up with help. His strength is made perfect when we are weak. I don't know if there's anybody here in this place who feels there is an area of life something is not doing perfectly well. I feel so God needs to help me in this area. I would have done ministry if not that. You see that, if not that, give it to Jesus. Lay it at his feet. Lay it at his feet. He will use it. He will turn it to strength. He will use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The foolish things, the useless people, the unserious people, he will use them to confound the wise. God will help you. Sit for a moment. I have half 10 minutes to teach you again, and then we're going to erupt in this place. We're going to pray. You need a revelation of the divine partnership. You need a revelation of the anointing of God that is within you. I'm sensing the Holy Ghost. I'm saying this one now. There's an anointing of God upon your life. Your eyes need to open to know it. Friend, you're not ordinary. Many of you will know it. You know, one of the things that keeps me in the ministry, that helps me produce results, is every single anointing, let me use that word loosely, every single anointing working in my life, I know it. Lift your hands, your right hand. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I am anointed. Now, beyond what everybody say, it has to dawn on you. Didn't all of you used to lay hands on the sick? You used to lay hands on people. But I believe, and God told me, I anointed you specially to lay hands. Do you understand? I am aware of the anointing of God upon my life. And you must be aware of it. The reason many of you quit is that you don't know how much investment God has put in your life. Those hands are anointed. Some of you, your tongue heavily anointed. You don't even know what you've got. Don't even know what is happening to you. I wish you will know. I wish somebody will tell you. But I'm trusting that you lead this meeting with a consciousness of the anointing of the Holy Ghost working upon your life. I know I am anointed. I know I am anointed. I know. I know that when I lay hands on the sick, they'll be healed. I know that when I encounter challenges, I'll be short and it will not enter. I know I'm anointed. It's something I know. If you know it, you do me to it. Why do you think? Like I was sharing with you guys yesterday, I did not start off in ministry praying for finances. I said it yesterday, right? I did not. It was when the Lord spoke to me and said, you are not praying for finances enough. And I was in my pastor's meeting, and that day I knew I came in contact with something. And I knew that because my pastor, that season of his life, he was flowing mightily in that anointing. In fact, he speaks in one meeting, and in that week, more than 30 people get new jobs. It was so dramatic then. And I was in one of such meetings. And the Lord said, I've put the same thing on you. I don't joke with what God tells me. So I came back and I've been using it since then. And if you're anointed, you need to know. The secret is this, sir. You need to know it first before others start knowing it. Do you understand? You need to know it first. You know, some of you, it will take 5 years before people recognize that anointing is fine. You need to know it first. There is a man sent from God. I know I'm anointed. I know I'm not ordinary. I know these hands are not ordinary. I know my tongue is not ordinary. My talk is not cheap. I know my talk is not cheap. I know my hands are not ordinary hands. I know that my shadow can heal. I know it. And I want you to know it. If you know it, it will bring ease for you in the ministry. It will bring results for you. You need to know that God has anointed you and he has equipped you. Brother, you must know. Sister, you must know that you are no longer ordinary. By the reason of this conference, by the reason of the call of God upon your life, he has anointed you. Look at it this way. God cannot possibly send you to go buy him pepper from the market and not give you the money with which to buy the pepper. That would be wickedness. If he's going to send you to anywhere, it's because he has equipped you for that. Let me tell you something. I'm anointed. Let me tell you, one of the things that happens to me, every time I notice, pastors listen, ministers listen, every time I notice a particular need that keeps arising in my ministry, a particular trend or pattern, that thing is placing a demand on my anointing. Do you understand? If I notice, for instance, that I have 40 members, and of the 40 of them, 32 are jobless. It is blessing it. It means God. Because God cannot bring those people to me if he doesn't have what I can give them. So it's because I'm anointed to create jobs. That is why they are coming in jobless. Who is following what I'm talking about? I notice in the ministry, everybody is sick. God loves his people. He won't send sick people to a man who cannot heal them. Somebody's not listening to me. He won't do that. He won't send poor people to a man who cannot make them rich. Are you following me, church? So when you and your team as the choir leader or as the ushering call, and there is a particular problem, God will not bring those people to your team if you don't have what to give them. So you need to know is that there is an anointing of God working in your life. And you better begin to release that anointing. You a father here, or you a mother here, and you notice that in your family, your kids have this common problem. They are not smart, or they are not serious. It's not time to begin to rebuke them and begin to beat out of them and talk them down. That thing is placing a demand on the anointing of God upon your life. Are you following me? It's placing a demand on it. And in case nobody has told you, let me be the first to tell you, you are anointed. You are anointed. You are no more ordinary. You are anointed. Your hands are no more ordinary hands. Your eyes are no more ordinary eyes. Your tongue is no longer an ordinary tongue. You are anointed by the Holy Ghost. The power of God is resident on you. I wish you knew they are no longer the same. I wish you knew that something is different about you now. I wish you knew. You are anointed. You are anointed. This man is not ordinary. You are anointed. I don't know who needs to hear this again. Every pastor, every minister, every team lead here, you have a particular problem going on in your team. There is an anointing of God upon your life to solve that problem. Why do you think, sir? Why do you think God sent Elijah to the Zarephath woman? Who God knew the woman had nothing, and now told the woman to feed him? It's because there is something upon Elijah that can provide food. That's why. There are many people who have not had children in your ministry. It's because you are anointed to create children. That is why now. Are you following me, church? You are anointed of God. You are anointed of God. You are anointed of God. And I'm going to ask that anointing to begin to speak. I'm going to ask that anointing to erupt from your inside. I'm going to ask that anointing to begin to gain relevance. I'm going to ask it to begin to erupt and begin to show forth and manifest from your inside. You see yourself every time People who are ignorant of scriptures are coming around you. You have not seen it yet, that you are anointed to teach. That's why they are coming. That's why you keep meeting them. That's why you keep meeting them. Your anointing is attracting the need, so I can respond to it. You need to know that the hand of God is upon you. You need to know that the fire of God is in your life. When others are quitting, you cannot quit, because you carry an investment of the Most High. So you cannot quit like that. You cannot quit like that. When others are giving up, you will not give up, because there's an anointing of God for your life. God put his hand on me. He anointed my hands to talk, to heal, my tongue to talk, my eyes to see, my ears to hear. Ababaradash. I am praying tonight that you see this thing as I'm seeing it. I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost. I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost. I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost. Wherever you are, just pray. Just pray like that. Just pray like that. If you already pray, just pray like that. 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 There's an anointing of the Holy Ghost upon your life. Upon your life. Upon your life. They are going to gain expression from today. They will gain expression from today. God is equipping you for the ministry. After tonight, you will not be the same again. The hand of God is going to come upon you mightily. Hey, Abaradash. You see, this is why I believe that many of you believers here who are in the health sector, you're a pharmacist, you're a doctor, I believe strongly that there's a healing anointing upon your life. I believe it strongly, because the anointing responds to needs. It responds to needs. So because you always keep meeting the sick, God has empowered you to heal the sick. There's an anointing upon your life. You need to know it. I need to know it. Our people should know it. But you must know it first. I'm anointed to heal. I'm anointed to bless. I'm anointed to impact. I'm anointed to teach. I'm anointed to bring men to Christ.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.